finding meaning out of the death of a brother and overcoming postnatal depression, plus becoming a queen. Hi, I'm Melanie Tate, and welcome to Now Hear This, where people are telling their true stories all over Australia into a microphone without any notes, very, very bravely. But today, we're still in Tasmania, and we're going inside a very special Now Hear This at the Moona Arts Centre. With my colleagues at 936 ABC Hobart, we asked people to share their stories to the theme, Now Hear This, the Mental Monologues. Now, the program you're about to hear includes references to suicide, and if this is triggering to you, please call Lifeline on 13 11 14. Meet Mitch McPherson.
The date was January 14, 2013. The day was a Monday. I had gone back to work for my first day back for the year after a nice, long, relaxing break with family and friends over Christmas. I was a glazier at the time. I'd served an apprenticeship and had been glazing for about 7.5 years. Life was pretty normal, and we all know what it feels like to go back to work after a long break over Christmas. It's awful. So I threw a lot of texts around and a lot of phone calls to get through a pretty morbid day, but ended up getting through it reasonably well. And I arrived home on that Monday evening at probably about 5 o'clock. I did the usual stuff, which I usually did of a night time, and snacked on some food, had a shower. And by this time it was approaching evening, and I lived with my dad at the time, and I made my way downstairs to my dungeon. My now fiance arrived, and as I said, it was approaching dinner, and we were starting to have that conversation about what we would have for dinner. I had my phone in my pocket, and it started to ring, and I pulled it out and I looked at it, and it was Mum. And being a natural 25-year-old, I had better things to do at the time than speak to poor old Mum. So I threw it on the bed and thought I'll give her a buzz back later. But unfortunately for me, well, sometimes I say fortunately, I'm fortunate that I didn't answer Mum's call. But about a minute later, I think it was, the best word I like to describe what we heard upstairs from Dad and my stepmum was pandemonium. There was yelling, screaming, running around. I swear it felt like forever that myself and my partner stood there looking at each other like, what on earth is going on upstairs, when I decided to open my bedroom door and run up to halfway up the stairs, and I looked up where Dad was at the other side, and the expression on his face said it all. But unfortunately, you know, in all the yelling and screaming, I said, you know, what's going on? And Mum had followed the call through to him and said that she'd got home and my younger brother Ty had suicided at home. Ty was one of my best mates. We did everything that brothers did growing up, playing sport together. We loved our backyard cricket, backyard footy. He was fortunate enough to have a lot of friends. He loved his sport as well. He played footy for Clarence and at the time was playing for Lauderdale down here in the south. And he always had a smile on his face. He was the life of the party, happy-go-lucky, and someone that people tell us now, we still hear really awesome stories about him. If you were around him, you automatically felt warm and happy to be in his presence, and he would really give you a lift. On this Monday during the day, he'd actually spent all day out with Dad buying his brand new tradie gear because on the Tuesday, the very next day, he was meant to start a building apprenticeship. So on the surface for Tig was his nickname, everything seemed really rosy, and we never ever thought at any stage that if he was ever having a dark or a down moment in this last couple of months where he'd just turned 18, about to start a job, about to get his licence, we never ever thought that we had to have that chat with him. Was everything okay? As a family in the past, we hadn't been affected by mental health or suicide or depression. Fortunate enough to never have experienced it or anyone to really go through dark days. So to lose someone under our own roof was and still is extremely hard to deal with. And, you know, since losing Tig, we've lost Nan to cancer and we lost Pop to cancer as well. And I'm sure everyone in here knows that losing someone to natural causes is really difficult, but you know, taking it from me, and I'm sure you hear it from other people, that losing someone to suicide is a million times harder to bear. It's never anyone else's fault that somebody else takes their own life, but, you know, I feel guilty, and I know a lot of people feel guilty that we weren't there to have that conversation with him and talk to him and help him get through the issues that we didn't know he was going through. For months after losing Ty, there was a lot of people coming up to us and we're having that conversation, you know, did you see he was struggling? Did you notice he was down? And adamantly, straight away, we'd say no. You know, he'd been with Dad all day. Dad dropped him off to Mum's. He was meant to come down to our place 2 hours later for dinner, and he just never came. We think it was just a spur of the moment thing. You know, something bad went on and he didn't want to jump into that next phase of his life and go to work the next day. But now that I've gained a knowledge on mental health, prior to this, my knowledge on mental health was zero, very ignorant towards it because I wasn't affected by it. I was one of those people that was rude about it, and you know, if I'd read it in the paper or saw it on the news, I'd turn the page over or change the channel because I'd never been affected, and why would I ever be affected in the future? But now gaining a knowledge on what mental health is and what the signs are of depression, I actually think back to the last couple of months before I lost my brother, and there were actually a lot of signs there, but it's just the fact that we didn't know what they were. You know, he loved eating his dinner with us. We weren't a massive, always sit around the table having dinner together, but in the last week especially, there was a few standout nights where we'd sing out to him to come and have dinner and he didn't want to come out. He just wanted to stay in his bedroom. We live right down the end of Tranmere, which is about 4 or 5K from the shoreline, the nearest bus stop, where he'd get dropped off, and he hated walking. He'd always send us a text or a call to get a lift home every day, but in the last few days, we found ourselves driving home, looking out the window, and there's Ty with his backpack on and feet down, and you'd offer him a lift and he'd say no. The last night I saw Ty on the Sunday before he passed, I naturally every night brush my teeth and walk past his bedroom, and on this night I kicked his door open and I looked in and he was laying on his stomach playing on his phone, and I said, "Good night, Tig," as I did every night, and he was playing on his phone, didn't look at me, and it took him a few moments and he just uttered the word "night" out, and I pulled his door shut and I went to bed. And I think back now, the side of his face that I saw, how white he was. There was someone lying there, a young, fresh 18-year-old, really struggling, and someone burning on the inside to probably tell someone that he was struggling and had a real issue going on. And I think back now that if I had that knowledge on mental health and suicide, there's no way I would have just pulled his door shut and gone to bed. I would have been the big brother, and again, it's guilt, but I've learned to live with it, and I know it's not my fault, but I wish to God that I'd gone in there and sat on the edge of his bed and said, "Look, Tig, something's wrong. You know, have a cry to me, have a chat. You know, let's go talk to Dad or our stepmum. Let's give Mum a call and get it off your chest, whatever's going through your mind." A few months after, again, after losing Ty, we were going through a really difficult time, and I wanted to put a positive spin on what was a really shitty situation and still is. Came up with the idea of the first one tonight, to have a prop. With this car sticker, "Speak Up, Stay Chatty," which I'm hoping people have seen around Hobart. The reason for this wasn't to scream out to everyone with the slogan "Speak Up, Stay Chatty" that my brother had suicided, but it was to let everyone know that we were struggling and to hold your loved ones close, because you obviously never know when they could be gone and leave you. The car sticker was an idea just to put on cars and for us to see it and crack a smile, and instead of probably crying when we thought of Ty, to probably laugh and think of a funny moment. The most common question I get asked is, why shorts? Why did I pick shorts? Ty was notorious for all his days, from when he was young and even to the age of just before he turned 18, for wearing his little footy shorts with no undies on. And quite often we had a lot of scenarios where it'd be, "Ty, put your feet down off the coffee table, mate." So we saw a lot of him that we didn't want to at times. And everyone knew that, including his mates, so it was a little funny for us to have on the sticker. So I'm now fortunate enough, not to talk about myself, but I work full time and this is a registered charity now. And I'm really, really... I'm really passionate that as many people throughout Tasmania at the moment, but hopefully, you know, around Australia, start to learn what I went through and what my family went through. For the major example that I give to kids is, if that last night I saw him, if you're ever me, you do go in and ask that question if you're unsure, or if you're ever Ty, you call that person in and say, "Look, I'm struggling," and speak up, because, you know, our motto at Stay Chatty and Relationships Australia, where I now work, is, you know, nothing's so bad you can't talk about it. The less families around the world that can go through it, the better. So... thank you very much for listening to me tonight.
And thank you so much to Mitch McPherson for telling that story. You can reach Lifeline on 13 11 14. You're listening to Now Hear This, the Mental Monologues. The live event was brought to life by the team at 936 ABC Hobart, and I co-hosted the event with Helen Shield. Soon, a story of quiet triumph over postnatal depression.